1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
All right, so anyway, Mexico last week, and a little underwhelming this trip out. I know I've mentioned that I enjoy going to Mexico. That's Marie and I, for some reason, we like going there on vacation better than some of the more traditional places that we go to in America. Americans go, for instance, to Hawaii, especially live on the West Coast. The Caribbean is another favorite spot. Or, I don't know, if you're one of these folks that likes to take a car trip, maybe to the Smithsonian, go to Washington, take the White House tour. We go to Mexico. And we try to get around to different spots, Cabo, Cancun. We've been to Puerto Vallarta, some of these places. And I'm not a very active guy when I'm on vacation. You're not going to see me parasailing. You're not going to see me on a jet ski. You're not going to see me. Really, you're not going to see me. I never leave the room. You'll see me, but I'll just be the one white guy with the big fat belly rising and you know, sort of rising and going down. You know, the belly going up and down is what I'm trying to say, rising and going down. Don't be laughing in there, man. I'm just like 3 minutes into this. So we went to down to Baja, and I didn't have a good time. And I know one of the reasons is because Maria's father is sick. And he has, you know, a fairly serious illness, and so the whole family is kind of, we have our minds on that. And our minds were definitely on him when we were out of town. And then this place we went to was a little bit underwhelming. I don't know what it was. It's just, I guess if you're spending that kind of money, you want to go somewhere where they got like a private beach and they give you the real oven-baked tortillas and stuff that there's like a little Mexican woman hand-making them in the kitchen. I don't know what I was thinking. But they gave us toast for breakfast, and it was all kind of down. And then the other thing that really, that wasn't the worst part. The worst part was, I don't mind seeing other Americans when I'm on vacation, when I travel internationally. I don't mind it at all if they're my kind of people. Well, I can't tell you what my kind of guy is, but I can tell you what my kind of people ain't. And it ain't the guy that was, as we were having our breakfast, and he gets out of the, no, he's coming up from the beach with his fins and his snorkel, and his wife with the sort of knit, you know, that kind of crocheted top that women wear over their bathing suits. And she's coming up. Here comes this guy with the kind of the 3-day growth of beard and a sort of receding 30-something hairline. He's got his fins, and he has his snorkel, and there's a cord that has been laid, an electrical cord, so that we can have a toaster that the waiters were toasting bread, and it was laying across one of the steps. And as he was walking up, in front of him was his friend Bob. And I know Bob because his friend, this guy I'm talking about, said, "Hey, Bob, you trip over that cord, you own this hotel." And I guess he was waiting for all of us to go, "Yeah, that's right, Bob, if you, yeah, I didn't. I didn't do anything other than look at the guy." And I think I made some comment, and I might have made it a little bit louder than I should have. It's something like, "What a moron." You know, because after that, the guy would look at me kind of in this angry, suspicious way. "You trip over that cord, you'll..." And then that wasn't the worst of it. That's just a kind of an entree. Could you hear something like that? It's not so much that it's insulting to the people that run the hotel. I don't care. It's just like, it ain't the first time I've heard it. "Hit me with your Jaguar. I own that car. If I trip over this, I'm going to own your house." Yeah, I understand. I know the litigious nature of our society, yada, yada. No, what really got me was the next day in the pool, as I was lounging there ever so languidly at the Cabana bar, I hear him and his friends and the girlfriends, I mean, they're all down there at the other end of the pool and going, "You know, when I shot The Rock, okay, we used, were you on stage 3? Yeah, okay, let me tell you the lens I used on that shoot. See, what we were going for, when Sean Connery, because I'm like, bull crap, shut up." And then they all swim over together, you know, and I was sitting there, and then they all swim over, they kind of crowd me off the bar, you know, so I got to swim over to my own little corner of the bar. And then I'm listening to them, and I can't help it. My wife says to me, "Well, why do you listen? Why don't you just..." I said, "Like, I don't know. It's just sort of a... I want to be tortured by it, I guess." And I'm hearing them all with the...
I had an idea for a show, and the guy who had the voice like this, by the way, was a bodybuilder, about 280, and arms the size of a tree trunk, and he had a voice up. Yeah, you know, the idea I had for a sitcom, can you get a script made? Oh, yeah, I can get it. I know a few people. Yeah, because I want to get the script over to some people, probably at Fox. And it goes like this. There's a guy, and he's Italian, and he runs a family, and they're mafia guys, right? And his wife and his mother dies. And, oh, that's really great. Yeah, I think I can really get it made.
And so that was, do you know what I'm saying? In other words, what I'm talking about, there's a tendency of Americans, no matter where they go, they kind of dominate everything. They're loud and they sort of take over, which is, I guess, in and of itself, if you're at Fiesta Americana, if you're at Sandals Resort, if you have the little wrist tag that tells you you're all-inclusive, that's fine. You know, yeah, everybody on the beach for volleyball, yeah, okay, that's great. But not here. I mean, I tried to find a place where I could get away from that. Well, I ran smack dab into the middle of it. Call me antisocial. Call me Phil. Call me anything you want. But it just kind of bugged me. And anyway, so we got there. And then the other thing that happened, other than the fact that they didn't have a private beach. Now, a lot of these joints, these resorts, they have a private beach you can go down. They didn't have one, so we had to go down the hill to this public beach. Didn't mind that so much, but if you go to Mexico and you lay on a public beach for any length of time, those of you who have, you know that this is the phrase that you will learn, and you learn it very quickly. It's either no tengo dinero or no gracias. No tengo dinero, I think, means I don't have any money. No gracias means no thank you. And why are you saying these phrases? Because one vendor after the next, coming down the beach, the guy is selling necklaces. He's got a suitcase full of watches. He's got sombreros on top of his head. Or the one guy that was going down the beach going, shrimp congo, shrimp cocktail, seafood combo, chips and salsa. Hey, my friend, seafood cocktail, shrimp combo. And, oh, you mean you got chips and salsa too? Yeah, that's right. Okay, no. No tengo dinero, huh? Oh, no tengo dinero. Oh, well. Now, wait a minute, man. I think I just said I don't have any money. What's to think about? Now, does it sound like I'm anti a guy making a living? No, I hope it doesn't. I'm not against the guy. But what am I supposed to buy from every single cat that comes by? I'm not going to have any freaking bread, man. And don't worry about it. This stuff ain't cheap. Guy coming by with Panama hats, $30. And, of course, me, if you want to know what kind of a nut I am, I'm the guy that pays full value in Mexico from a guy on the street. My wife says, have you ever heard of bargaining? Have you ever thought about... I don't know. The guy said, it doesn't mean it's 30. It means that that's the starting, that's the entree. And then the other thing is we're parked there at the beach, and here come all the snorkeling boats from every single resort up and down the thing, because this bay that we were sitting on is the prime snorkeling. Oh, my God.
Okay, my friend.
Because you can hear the loudspeaker, the dude's on a catamaran. There's about 50 boats. I don't know, 100 people crowded on this catamaran. You don't even know how the freaking thing made it to the beach without sinking. Everybody paying, what do you figure, 80, 90, 100 bucks to go on a snorkeling trip for the day. And you can hear the loudspeaker.
All right, my friends, we're going to be here for an hour. And when you hear the horn, it's going to go like this. Beep, beep. That means you come in, okay? Watch out for the sharks. Just kidding. Now, anyway.
And then they go in the water. And I saw this guy. No offense. I don't mean anything by this. I noticed that he was black. It doesn't mean anything other than the fact that I noticed he was black. But he couldn't float. He couldn't do anything. He was like, no, wait a minute, man. I know what I'm doing. He couldn't swim. It was just, my wife's the one who made the comment, not me. No, I didn't. It's just, I went out there and I held him up and sort of held him by this. Go ahead here. Kick your feet. That's it. People couldn't swim. People couldn't snorkel. So anyway, and it was really loud. That's the other thing. And here's the other. Do you ever notice this when you go to a beach? Has this ever happened to you? You go to a beach, miles and miles, miles of white sand, nobody on it. Miles. In this case, at least a mile of beautiful sandy beach, kind of curving around this glorious azure, sparkling blue body of water, the gorgeous cliffs and the desert terrain of Baja rippling down to the seaside, right? Miles of it. I put my little umbrella down, and right next to me, right next, like a foot away, some couple from Texas.
Y'all know what time it is?
Yeah, it's, I don't know, I got Pacific time here.
We're from Dallas, so that'd be what?
I guess that'd be central, okay?
Wait, mountain time. Oh, all right. So y'all from, Jesus, buddy, I'm here. Why don't you go down there?
Yeah, they're right next to you, you know? What do I picked out the best piece of sand, everybody's going to be there, right? Does it sound like I had a bad time? I didn't. I had a really good time. We couldn't keep our mind on anything other than Maria's dad, so... no, I don't mean to be critical. People can park wherever they want. If I look like I'm a friendly face, they want to sit next to me, that's fine. I'm generally a pretty friendly guy, but Jesus, you know what I'm saying? Isn't it kind of hot? And when you're hot already and you're sitting, and the guy's just boink right there, and another guy blunt right there. So, and not just a guy, it's a guy and his wife and his three kids, okay? And they're all, yeah, okay, here we go. Hey, taking it over. They got the cooler. They're going to dig a tunnel. They're going to bury daddy in the sand. And the tunnel they're digging ain't just anything. It's right underneath me. And the other thing is getting to this beach was a hike, man. It was down a hill and then back up a hill. And I finally got up there and the dude behind the desk is, enjoying yourself, sir? Oh, yeah. So Sunday night, I don't want to tell you what I did, but I will tell you this. I don't remember going to bed. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, we have the Phil Hendry Diary, our Phil Hendry Mexican Diary, posted on our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. You can check out our new poll today, which is, by the way, what was the coolest scene from the movie Jaws? Was it Robert Shaw getting bit in half, Roy Scheider blowing up Jaws, the girl attacked in the opening of the film, the sailboat guy losing his leg, Jaws dragging the boat backwards, remember that? Or Robert Shaw telling the story of the Indianapolis. Remember that scene where they're all drunk and he's talking about the Indianapolis, the ship that got attacked by the sharks? And so far, with votes totaled, 36%. Which one do you think it would be? Of all of those. These are all action scenes. Shaw gets bit in half. Scheider blows Jaws up. A girl attacked. Sailboat guy loses a leg. Jaws. The first one, Shaw gets bit in half. The girl gets attacked. You think that's the most popular one? Of all of these scenes that I mentioned, the only non-action scene is Robert Shaw telling the story of the Indianapolis. That leads with 36% of the vote. And then second is the girl attacked in the opening, 27%. And then third is Jaws drags the boat backwards. The Robert Shaw gets bit in half was only 9%. I thought that was the most climactic, scary thing. Anyway. You can visit our website, philhenryshow.com. You can check out our Mexican diary, and we'll be having that for you throughout the week. 1-800-449-8686 is the Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
The other thing was the food was not as good as, Mexican food I love. And if you can get good native cuisine, we were getting the Baja cuisine, allegedly, which, what is that? Well, what that is like it's American food. And it wasn't that good. And something that's never happened to me before in Mexico. Never. I mean, it may happen to quite a number of people, and maybe it's happened to you. It never happened to me. I never got the runs. I've never had any intestinal problems at all, ever. I'm drinking the water. I'm eating the shellfish, everything. But this trip out, I don't know, on about the second day, I had just the very slightest rumblings. And I began to calmly walk. Then I went into a little bit of a trot and finally a full run to the toilet and threw my pants off. Tried to get the door closed because I knew housekeeping was coming in, but I couldn't do that. So the women came in to make the bed, and there I am, just bare-ass on the toilet. Excuse me. No tango dinero. No, I mean, Huh? David.
Yeah, let me ask you a question.
David, can I,
Let me ask you a question.
Okay, is this going to be about what I'm talking about?
Let me ask you the question, not you ask me the question.
Yes, sir. Can I tell people who you are?
Yes, I'll tell. I'm David Hall. I'm the vice president of syndication for your radio program. And I am the last guy who wants to jump in the middle of what you're doing to try to point some things out to you. But what you're doing right now is hurting your radio program.
And I'm talking about the vacation I took.
No, I was sitting listening to it in the car on my way to the airport. I'm hearing what you're saying. What I'm trying to tell you is you are hurting your show once again with a non-relatable rant.
David, we talk about this all the time.
Yes, we do, in programming meetings. And what do I tell you?
You tell me to try to be... You tell me to be relatable, but you tell me to come out with things out of my life.
To be relatable is the most important thing, okay? These people you're talking to right now... The
people, by the way, that are listening to us right now, so here we go again. We're in the middle of an argument in the middle of my show.
Listen to me. They're gonna remember what we tell them to remember. They're not going to remember what we don't tell them to remember. The people that are listening to your show right now are Americans. They are average Americans. And what were you just talking about? Going to Mexico?
I was talking about Marie and I going to Mexico, yeah.
All right. The people that are listening to your show right now don't even about it. Americans don't leave America. They don't go anywhere. They don't...
Well, I go, I leave, I...
You're not... Jesus, you know, you're really going to piss me off.
David.
Hold on for a minute. Hold the calls. You know something? I'm in the middle of my work day, and here you are pissing me off. You're doing something on the air, Phil, that doesn't relate to people.
Why? You're telling me people, Americans, don't leave America, so they can't relate to what I'm talking about.
That's right. Leaving this country scares people. That's why when you hear about Americans getting into trouble, they're getting hurt or they're getting killed, it's because they're probably babbling nervously in English about their hotel, where is it, and it doesn't matter which country. Foreigners go crazy when they hear English. They know how to speak it. Yes, it's the international language, Bob, but they go wild if they hear it too much.
Well, that hasn't happened to me.
You aren't an average guy. You can't use yourself in these... You remember our meeting, our programming meetings?
Yes.
All right. The people you're talking to, listening to your show right now, they go to campgrounds. They go to Disney World. They go to Washington, D.C. You mentioned the White House tour. That's what they do. They go on car trips. They go to visit a grandmother or something. I don't know what it is. They stay. I don't know what it is. Do you know what is this thing, KOA?
What are you asking me, what?
What is KOA? What is that?
Do you mean the campgrounds?
Yeah, but it's a different kind of campground. It's near a freeway.
Yeah, it's a campground that you put your RV in.
Yeah, this is where they stay. They stay in these campgrounds near a freeway. But this is...
Okay, if that's what they do, then that's what they do.
All right, but why aren't you talking about that? Why aren't you talking about the fact that you... But there you are talking about passport, traveling. Are you kidding with that?
No, I think you're kidding.
They don't know what a passport is.
David, I think the audience...
The people that are listening to your show right now don't know from passport, they don't know from Mexico, they don't know from customs, they don't know from immigration. Do you know what an immigration form is, right?
Of course.
Okay. You're going to be talking about it on the radio, they don't know what you're talking about.
Immigration form is what you fill out when...
I know what it is, you know it. I've been to Spain I don't know how many times. I travel to Europe at least 3 times a year. Have you been to Europe?
I was in Europe I was in Paris about 3 summers ago.
Oh, there you go again. Bragging about it. I was in Paris
You just said you were in Spain 3 times a year.
I'm not the guy on the radio, am I? But there you are. Oh, yeah, we went to Paris. You didn't say 2 years ago. You said 2 summers ago. You see what I mean? In other words, it's a seasonal thing with you. What, you mean maybe you were there last spring? Or you were someplace else last spring? Phil, I'm telling you...
David, the only guy right now that's pissing anybody off is you. Talking about how I can't talk about traveling internationally. Talking about how people don't know anything about a passport. Let's say they don't know anything about a passport. What if they...
What, are you going to be the guy to teach them?
Well, maybe I could...
I see. Now what you're doing here, you're doing a PBS show. What are you, Martha Stewart? You're not going to teach them anything. Talk about the stuff they know. Let me show you something. Do you know that 88...
I hope I'm talking about things...
Hold on. 88% of all Americans do not hold a passport, and they aren't even sure what one is. Now,
where are you getting this?
This is a poll that was... This is a research poll done by a marketing group for radio. 88%, 76% of all Americans don't know what a consulate is or what it's used for. 91% of Americans polled would rather go to Mall of America than see the Eiffel Tower. What does that tell you?
They'd rather go to Mall of America.
Than see the Eiffel Tower, for crying out loud. You know, you're frustrating me, and...
I thought I was... I got to give a phone number. I got to take a break.
Give your phone number. Take your break. You're frustrating me. You're pissing me off. These people don't know what you're talking about. When you go outside of America, they're lost.
Look, our number is 1-800-44...
You hear what I'm saying? Trump?
I'm hearing it. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I'm Phil Hendry. David Hall is with me. So I blew it talking about Mexico.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I've had a lot of hosts work for me, Phil. I've had a lot of guys work for me. But you are the stupidest, most misinformed host that I've ever had work for me.
I wanted to come on and talk about my vacation in Mexico.
Oh, you wanted to come on and talk about your vacation in Mexico, even though not one of the idiots that listens to you, and I say that, you know, I'm so angry.
Good, you just called them idiots.
Well, I'm so... They don't understand going out of the country. They don't. Most of them don't even go across the street. You know, let me tell you something. The average American never even goes to the park in their hometown to watch a fireworks display. Did you know that?
David, I don't know. I'm just, I'm...
You really, your stupidity continues to amaze me. You keep breaking records of stupidity. I talk to you, and I talk to you until I'm blue in the face. Don't talk about stuff that the listeners don't know anything about. And the next thing I know is I hear you on the air going, oh, I went to Mexico, and I had a passport, and I stayed at a hotel with a private beach. God!
They didn't have a private beach.
Oh, I'm sorry. It must have been horrible for you. And in the meantime, I'm trying to prop your show up with advertisers.
All right, I got to go to some phone calls.
What?
I got to go to some phone calls here, okay? 1-800-449-8686. Sylvia, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. Who am I speaking to?
This is Phil Hendry. And
I'm David G. Hall, ma'am.
You, who are you?
My name is David Hall. I'm the program. What's your name?
My name is Sylvia.
Uh-huh.
And I want to tell you where my background is.
What's your what?
My background.
Well, what does this got to do with me?
It has to do with you because you think you're the smartest guy in the world and you're a piece of crap.
Well, hold on. Can you put her on hold for a minute?
Sylvia, will you hold on for a minute, okay? Sylvia?
What?
Will you hold for just a second, all right?
Yes, I can't take him anymore.
I know. Well, just hold.
I think it's a part of the act.
No. I've got to talk to him for a second. Will you hold on? Okay? Sylvia?
Yes.
Hold for just a minute. David, what are you doing?
Will you get this old Jew off the phone quick and let's go to another call?
I don't want to...
Just get rid of the old Jew and let's move on.
Okay, Sylvia, hi, it's Phil Hendry again.
Yes, I heard, listen,
and
was that...
I was,
I want to ask you something.
Listen, I want to know, Sylvia,
you shut up, you stupid old bastard! Shut your mouth, you're an ignoramus!
I care about your life!
I don't give a damn about you!
Wait a second!
You're just lucky, and it's a part of the act to do this, to get people all hot and bothered about...
Yeah, exactly. David,
is that part of your act?
Is this why you call in, to get everybody upset?
One who's getting everybody upset.
I called.
Wait, yes, you did call. The lady called, and she's going to have her say. Okay?
I didn't ask you.
Did you get this old bag to call him? Because if you did...
I'm younger than you are, you stupid old bastard.
Let me tell you...
Hold on for a minute, everybody. Now, I didn't get her to call in, and I'm asking you, David, did you call in to get everybody pissed off?
You're the guy talking about Mexico. Did I talk about Mexico?
He is the one that got me because I love to listen to your show, Phil.
Thank you very much.
I do listen to it.
Thank you very much.
I cannot tolerate that old, old moron.
What do you know about going to Mexico?
Is it part of the act?
Have you ever gone to Mexico?
Yes, I have.
That's a lie.
That's a lie. Well, I don't give a damn whether you believe it or not. I've been all over the world, you bad ass, you big moron.
You're going to Israel every summer.
I have been all over the world with my late husband. Now shut your mouth. I'm talking to Phil.
You're taking a dead body around the world.
Now,
how,
shut your mouth.
How
you don't know
dare
anything
you.
About me. You don't know what I look like or anything.
How dare you say that?
I worked in the New York City Board of Education for the principal.
Did you say you took a dead body around the world? Because I heard
you're
you said...
You're a dead body. You're an idiot.
She said she went around the world with her late husband.
That's what I'm saying.
Her you late... When him, he was... When
he's
he was
a stupid. He's an idiot. He
Sylvia,
thinks all of this is going to get people interested.
Listen, I am trying
but I
to
got
get
so
people...
disgusted with... I like to listen to your show.
You're very kind.
And but
yeah,
I
you're
can't
the one going around the world with a dead corpse.
That act is worthwhile. To get people to turn it on, he's got the wrong guy.
You
got
to, David, you got to stop
it's
doing
part
this.
Of the, it's
right.
part of the act.
If you keep calling my show, David,
listen
with all of this
Bill.
Stuff. Now, hold on for a minute, Sylvia. I got to talk to David. You keep calling my show like this just to get people pissed.
Wait a minute. You came on the air today, started talking about Mexico, something that nobody knows anything about.
I know all about Mexico.
Who's this?
This is Sylvia.
That's right.
She's
I've been to Mexico.
I've been all over the world. With a dead body, right?
No, with my husband who is now deceased. Now, shut your stupid mouth.
The man died after she went around the world with him, okay?
I'm not talking
to you. All right,
okay,
you just needed to clear that up.
I don't have to clear anything up with you. I can't tolerate you.
All right, Sylvia,
I want to... I think you're an old moron.
Sylvia, why don't you tell us, where have you been? You've traveled around the world, right?
All around the whole world with my late husband.
And, for instance, where did you go, dear?
Well, I've been to Africa. I've been to Egypt.
Africa.
I've been to I've been to Morocco. I've been to Israel three times.
Yeah, no
I've
kidding.
Been to Italy. I've been to Spain.
Yeah, that's
I've
beautiful.
I've been to England. Where else? Norway. I've been all over the world.
And then you woke up. Now,
what
I
is it with you, okay?
I find him to be...
Look,
you know, he thinks
no, no, no,
getting
no.
people to listen
no,
to
no,
us.
No, no,
he's
I'm
got
trying
the
to
wrong
make a point.
Angle.
I'm trying to make a point.
He's
the
overdoing
person,
it.
The average
Did
person...
Did you hear what I said? Stupid, listen! You're overdoing it.
I can't hear you.
Well, I don't want to hear you.
Oh,
I didn't
so
turn
it's all
on this program to
oh.
listen to you, moron.
So in other words,
I turned it on to listen to Phil.
You don't believe in free speech, then? Is that it?
Oh, stop talking to me like I'm 2 years old, you moron. Don't give me that baloney.
Baloney? Free speech is the
oh,
cornerstone of
the country.
That's
why I'm telling you, free speech means I can tell you to go to hell, right?
Well... So what do I say to that?
I think the lady is angry because you're saying that everybody listening is so stupid they don't understand what a passport is, what a consulate is. 91% of Americans would rather go to the Mall of America than the Eiffel Tower.
You know why I'm laughing?
I didn't
because
take
I have been all over the world.
You ever been to the Mall of America?
I've been... I'm not talking to you.
Yeah, never been
I don't
to
want
the
to talk to you. Get the hell off the phone.
All right, I'll get off.
You get off. Phil?
Okay, I'm off, all right?
Where's Phil?
I'm right here, dear.
I can't take that man. I mean, is this part of the you know, I want
Well, I got to I you know,
is
I call
this part
him up.
Of the act?
I call Phil, him up all the time and ask him, "Why do you call the show?
What?
Why do you do
No,
you
I
know,
mean it sincerely,
but,
honestly.
Sincerely.
Is this part of the act?
Is it David?
You know, I
want to
I want to tell you
that.
Something, Phil.
Yeah, she doesn't want me. Look, this
I don't
want to
talk
want,
to him. I want
no,
to
No, you don't
want to
talk to me.
Phil,
you don't want to talk to me. I'm the program director.
I don't
I'm
care
right
what
here.
You are. I think you're an absolute moron.
Well, at least I've been to the Mall of America and you haven't.
I called Phil.
All right, she called me to talk to me.
Phil, get the hell off the phone.
Are you calling from Florida? Do you know how many people have been
None of your damn business. Where I'm calling
well, if,
from.
You know the people that have died from shark attack over the last 5 days there? Maybe
I'm
you wanna,
not interested in anything that you say, and
maybe
I don't
you
anything
go take a
you're
swim.
Talking about. So get the hell off the phone. I'm calling Phil.
No, I don't feel like it.
Look at
well,
David.
Shut up and listen.
No, I don't have to.
Shut up and listen to what she's got to say, at least, okay? You took a half an hour on my show to tell me that I'm full of crap about the Mexico. Will you listen?
I don't feel like it.
Oh, you don't feel like it.
I don't have to do what you tell me to do. I'm the boss.
Well, you're a stupid boss if you are the boss. You're a very stupid boss. You carry it too far. You're a little bit, it works.
You know what?
I worked, wait a minute. I worked and I've been to all the studios in New York. I told you I also was Zsa Gabor's private secretary.
Who?
I've been around the world.
George Gabor.
Zsa Gabor.
Zsa Gabor.
I was her
Gabor.
Private secretary.
Did you see her nude?
Oh, isn't that
it's
funny?
It's not your goddamn business.
Well, I bet
that
you did.
Nude. That's not what I'm calling about.
If you saw Zsa Gabor naked, I think you owe it to this audience to tell us.
I don't have to tell you anything. I don't even want to know you. Never mind telling you anything.
You worked for Zsa Gabor, huh, Sylvia?
Yeah.
And what did you... You were her secretary?
I tell you. No,
oh, wow.
I was waiting for my appointment to the Board of Education in New
right.
York.
Oh, great. And then...
And I'm talking to you, Phil.
Yes.
To shut up.
Shut up, David.
I didn't say a word. It was you.
Oh, God.
Oh, okay.
Phil... I worked.
You never saw her nude.
I was waiting for my appointment
mm-hmm.
in the school system in
mm-hmm.
New York,
right.
Board of Education.
Right.
And during that time, a friend of mine
yeah.
who was in the show business
mm-hmm.
told me that Zsa Zsa needed a secretary.
Wow, okay.
So naturally, she asked, she was going with Herbert Hutner, the one who owned the Waldorf at that time.
Right.
This is all bullcrap.
So I went to the Waldorf.
Yeah.
And I worked for her until...
Bullcrap.
Oh, God. I don't give
a
damn
why
he calls.
Oh, I can't sit here and listen
to
this BS.
Shut up, don't you moron. Shut your mouth. I'm talking. So, Phil...
So I'm supposed to allow you to BS everybody?
Just let me... I want to hear the story about Zsa Zsa Gabor.
I called Phil. Okay? So I worked for her. Hello, Phil, are you listening?
Yes, I'm listening.
And it was, I worked for her for about 3 months.
Oh, man.
And, you know, with that, with the studio and the television and all that. And it was a very interesting experience because she was quite a piece of work.
I'll bet you. Now, as a personal secretary, do you keep her her itineraries?
Everything. I went with her. We went to all the, you know, studios. She used to be on television a lot.
Yes, of course.
And so I used to go along, you know, but of course I carry the bag.
Yeah.
I carry the movies.
What is that? Wait a minute. What is that? What are you doing?
I got to go to the bathroom.
Well, go in there and don't come out anymore. You know, Phil.
Oh, boy, that's
good. If he thinks that he's helping you.
It burns.
And making the show more interesting.
Yeah, I know.
He isn't.
All right, dear. Listen,
Sylvia.
He
doesn't have that kind. He doesn't have any talent.
You don't have any talent, David.
Yeah.
Well, listen, thank you very much for calling.
Is she still talking about
If you can get him off, that would be the best thing, because he's interfering with people calling you. I'm telling you now.
I give to the B'nai B'rith. I don't know what you need from me.
Go, look, why don't, help, right, why don't okay, you go just, break both your legs and don't walk anymore?
ADL,
goodbye.
All right, thank you. We got a break? All right, 1-800, I guess we should. 1-800-449-8686. I bet you go to Israel once a year. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm looking at our poll on the PhilHendryShow.com. PhilHendryShow.com, of course, the official website of the Phil Hendry Show. And, of course, the poll is the coolest scene from Jaws. Was it Robert Shaw getting bitten in half by the shark there at the very end? Remember when the tail end of the boat got, you know, was sinking, basically, and Shaw slides right into the mouth of the shark? Was it Roy Scheider when he blows up Jaws with the oxygen tank in its face? Was it the very chilling opening scene of Jaws? We all remember that, where the girl is attacked while she's swimming. Was it when the sailboat guy is helping the kids and he gets attacked and eaten and the leg goes, hits the bottom of the ocean? Was it when Jaws drags the boat backwards? That was kind of a harrowing scene. Or was it when Robert Shaw is telling the story of the SS Indianapolis? And you submit your vote on PhilHendryShow.com, and you take a look and see that of the total votes cast, Robert Shaw telling the story of the Indianapolis leads 34% to 29%. Now, that's the only non-action scene that we listed there, and that's the one that's leading. Because it was a great scene, and he's a tremendous actor, was a tremendous actor. He died, like, I think a year after he made that movie. But was that guy the essential, if you will, quintessential sea dog? It was just beautiful, and telling that whole story about the sharks attacking the guys off the ship is really wild. And that's right after that, then Jaws hits the boat and drags it backwards. And they're all, like, bombed out of their minds. Good job there, Sheriff Brody. Get juiced. Go out looking for a 25- to 30-foot shark. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. So our trip to Mexico really was just kind of underwhelming. And the other thing that happened... And this is, I mentioned this because usually when Marie and I go on vacation, we befriend at least one gay couple. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago before we left. I don't know what it is. I'm not trying to say anything about anything other than to say that when you see a couple of gay men together, they look lonesome. They look like they're very uncomfortable. I don't know. Maybe it's the places we go that's so small that they stand out. You know, there's maybe five other couples in a restaurant and these two guys. And look a little uncomfortable, like maybe they wouldn't mind talking to some people, but nobody wants to talk to them because they may get AIDS, you know, from carrying on a conversation with them. So a lot of times we, I guess it's because we're bleeding heart liberals. No, wait a minute, my wife's a Republican. Well, I don't get it. Anyway, we go over and we'll start to strike up a conversation and this kind of thing. I guess it's because we want them to, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm sexually attracted. I don't know. So this past trip, we went to Cabo and we saw two guys in the pool. Now, for all intents and purposes, and I don't want to be a guy who indulges in too many stereotypes, but allow me just to indulge in one right here. They were both wearing Speedos. The older guy had gray hair that was kind of spiked. He was really in great shape. Guy looked like he was in his early 60s. Great shape, great upper body, big arms, wearing the mirrored shades, and kind of just the little hint of a gold earring. Okay. The younger guy, also with the black Speedo, I think it was a red on black Speedo, kind of the bleached but peroxided bleached hair, so it was orange hair, combed straight back with the black sideburns. He had on mirrored shades and sort of with that annoyed look on his face that some of our more, shall I say, prissy friends get. And they were in the pool and they were talking to each other. One was laying on his stomach on a rubber raft while the other was sort of in the water leaning into his ear and talking. And they looked like they were a couple. So we get over there, we start talking to them, they're really nice guys, what do you do? One of them's in the construction business, the other's a doctor. And the guy says, well, he's my son. She's your son, yeah. Well, I thought you were a couple of fat, I mean, I thought that you were, I didn't, really, yeah. And as a matter of fact, he has two daughters, and he's just getting over a divorce, so we thought we'd come down here and vacation together. And it threw me completely, took me by surprise, and again, forgive me, but I don't think I'm alone. If you'd been there as I had been there, and if you'd had as many drinks as I had, which, by the way, I like the call that I got 2 weeks ago from the guy saying, you sound fairly comfortable with your drinking, Phil. That's nice to hear. Thank you. You know what I'm saying? Am I making any sense? Just your father and son. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And you,
Yeah, but why? What did you think we were? Queer or something? I don't know, there's a little...
No. I never...
Well, I don't know. I don't understand the questions.
Well, no, I didn't think at all. I'm,
You think we're a couple of fags that need some company? Is that...
No. I thought that maybe... Well, you know, a man gets tired of women after a while, doesn't a man?
A man gets tired of women. I love women. I love their breasts. Love the legs, everything.
Well, okay, it's certainly understandable that you'd love... I love breasts, too. I'm straight, and I'm sure that you...
Well, of course I am. Oh, all right. I just wanted to know if you were, and I'm... What do you mean? I don't like the nature of your questioning. I'm going to swim over here.
Well, anyway, we knocked that off. I'm talking to Marie. I go, well, that was a blunder. Nice job, Henry. I would like to also say that it wasn't just me. It was my wife, too, okay? I'm just recounting my end of it. And then she said something to me that made a little bit of sense. She said, how do you know that isn't just a story they tell people so people don't get nosy? Or, how do you know they weren't indeed gay? They could have been father and son, but maybe they're both gay men. And sort of having gone through the harrowing times of whatever the hell they've had to go through being married to whatever it was they were married to, they, you know, find solace in each other's company and they vacation. I don't know. But that's the last time I offer to have dinner with a gay guy. No, that was kind of a whack. But it was a lot of fun. They were the most interesting people that we met because other than that, I got Curly down there talking about, hey, did you shoot, you remember when we did Moby Dick? Yeah, that was great, huh? Yeah, Gregory Peck. Those guys talking like that. All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. The number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD and picture disc vinyl is available by going online to philhenryshow.com or calling 877-616-7445. To date, we've raised almost $160,000 this year alone for my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood. You can pick up the phone and call 877-616-7445. You can order it online at philhenryshow.com. And pretty soon, our Best of the Year 2001 CD and picture disc will also be coming out. I don't know if we're going to do the vinyl this year, but we will do a CD. And again, all of the money to benefit my friend's place, Resource Center for the Homeless and Runaway Kids there in Hollywood. Fast, courteous, professional people will take your order. Almost all over $500,000 we've raised in the last 5 years for my friend's place. Phil Henry Show, 4 years, not five, four.